constantly interacting with others, whether it's in person or over the phone or online. And most of those contacts go pretty smoothly. But unfortunately, there are folks out there who are looking to take advantage of you or me. And it's important that we talk about those situations that we encounter so that other people can avoid them, and that consumer advocates know what's happening out there around the state. Lucky to have a great department working on consumer protection issues right here in Wisconsin. They compile reports from people from around the state, get information out to the rest of us, and every month or so they come by and talk with us and answer your questions. Sandy Chalmers, Administrator of the Division of Trade and Consumer Protection. Thanks for coming by, Sandy. Appreciate it very much.
Thanks, Larry.
And Michelle Reinen, who is the Director of the Bureau of Consumer Protection. And it's always great to have you, Michelle. Thank you for coming.
Sure. Thanks for having us. Always good to be back.
Well, I tell you what, is this Cybersecurity Month? This is Cybersecurity Month, isn't it? What kind of information do we need to think about protecting when we are online?
Well, you really need to think about protecting all the information that you have stored in your computer and your smartphone. And some criminals are after only information about you that they can use for marketing or targeting for criminal purposes. And others are, you know, just thieves. So, you know, what they do is they target you in a number of ways. They can they scan through the internet looking for computers that are unprotected, smartphones that are unprotected. And once they see an unprotected computer, they'll try to install software through the open doors. They may send you an email attachment with a link or an image, which if you click on them, would install hidden software. Or sometimes just visiting a website or downloading an application or a toolbar or clicking on a pop-up will install that malicious software. But once that software is on your computer, it can spy. They can spy on your internet surfing. They can track your keystrokes, you know, and capture your passwords, your banking information, credit card numbers. And they can also use your computer to send emails to other unsuspecting consumers. So probably the best thing you can do to protect yourself, especially when we're talking about computers, is to make sure that your antivirus and anti-spyware software is up to date. And if you can, set it to update automatically, because that's why it's there. And, you know, even leaving it there, the antivirus companies are continually monitoring the traffic of the criminals. And, you know, they're putting together patches to protect you from those types of malicious software. So make sure it updates automatically. Make sure that you have a firewall installed and on your computer. Almost all operating systems come with firewalls, but make sure it's turned on. And then be really careful about opening attachments and downloading files from emails you receive. Sometimes those emails may look like they're from a friend or a Facebook friend, but be very, very careful about downloading photos or clicking on links. And then download free software only from websites that you know and trust. It may look like a great deal, but it probably contains malicious software.
So lots of good tips there. And, you know, speaking of computers and computer scams, David in Milwaukee has a question for us that may relate to what you're talking about here. So let's go there. Hi, thanks for calling.
Yes, hi. This is at least a warning to others. I run a small nonprofit, and we do things like have a display booth at things like the Governor's Convention on Tourism. And we got an invitation for a free listing for fairs and festivals. Sounded very nice. So we put our free listing on, And ever since then, we have been getting bills for the listing out of a place out of Slovakia.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we kind of went, huh? So I checked it out on the internet, and it says, yes, indeed, it is a scam. You know, they had stuck somewhere an incredibly fine print that, in fact, it wasn't a free listing, and you had to pay, you know, $1,500 a year for it. So I keep getting these letters of bills from Slovakia, and I've sent a certified letter saying, this is a scam, we don't want anything to do with it. And they keep sending them. So my only real question is, once you get into a loop like this, do you just ignore it?
Yeah, how the heck do you get out of it? or do you just ignore it?
Yeah, this is a really common scam. We call it a fake invoice scam, and they'll send you this a lot of times. Magazine subscriptions will come this way, where they'll send you something that looks just like a bill, and unsuspecting people will pay it. And you know, that's probably what their scam is, and they have enough people who fall victim that it pays off.
Yeah.
So it's a phony bill.
It's a phony bill, and just ignore it, and eventually they'll go somewhere else.
Great. Thank you.
All right. Thanks a lot for calling. Excuse me. You can join in, too, at 1-800-642-1234. It's 1-800-642-1234. You can email us at talk@WPR.org or post on my Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show as we talk about consumer scam issues. This is Cybersecurity Month, and so we'll be talking some more about that, but also taking your questions, problems that you've had when you call in. You know, this identity theft business has really gotten to be something. I was reading, I think it was Judith was pointing out to me, more than 10 million Americans every year, and it's like $5 billion lost. That's a terrible, Michelle.
Yeah, every year identity theft is growing, and consumers are unknowingly falling victim. And so there are a number of things they can do to just be vigilant and try and make sure they're being aware and monitoring this. You need to check your credit card bill regularly to every month when it comes in right away to make sure the charges on the bill are yours. If someone's using your credit card, that's a form of identity theft. Severe cases are stealing your Social Security number, and this can happen through the internet. That's cybersecurity awareness is part of identity theft. Being aware, you're going to want to check your Social Security statement when it comes once a year to make sure the employment on there listed is your employment that's tied to your number. You want to do credit reports, making sure that you're monitoring those, that there isn't any extensions of credits that aren't yours, and dealing with those right away, and keeping your Social Security number safe, whether you're giving it out in person, carrying it in your wallet, or on the internet through the cybersecurity. So Sandy talked about the malware and the spyware and making sure your antivirus software is up to date, and that could be because they could be logging keys. Even if you just use your computer to check emails, get your emails, do Word documents, and watch movies, you may be logging information down that malware could be tracking and receiving. Even if you don't do your taxes on your computer, you need to be very aware and conscious of that.
Gordy and Mozani has a question for the two of you. Let's go to Gordy. Hi, Gordy. Thank you for calling.
Hi. Thanks for having me on. And thanks for the show. I got a text on my cell phone sometime last night, and I noticed it a little while ago, that said, credit union alert. And it said, your card has, and such a number has been deactivated. And to call a number. And I called the credit union instead. I called the credit union, and they said, it's a scam to try to get a hold of your debit card number and drain your account. And they're on it, but then they didn't elaborate, you know, who did it or how big it is or how effective it is.
Yeah.
I thought I'd
bring that up. And
it just happened just now, and I don't know if it's all over the country, or this was actually a credit union out in Washington. So.
Sandy Chalmers?
Yeah, that is a very common scam, and they're using text messaging more and more as more people have smartphones in their pockets. But it's a scam that's known as phishing with a PH, and the crooks will pose as well-known companies, trusted banks or credit unions in an attempt to get your personal information. And if you had clicked on a link in that text or called the number in the text, you probably would have been asked for your bank account number or credit card number, and you would be a victim of identity theft. So you handled it exactly correctly. What we advise when you get those texts, and they may be from Best Buy or Walmart or Wells Fargo Bank, it may actually be from somebody posing as your own bank, call your bank and use a number that you have. Never click on a link or call the number that's in the text.
There you go. Thank you, Gordy, for calling. Appreciate your call. You can join in, too, at 1-800-642-1234. Let's turn to Doug in Green Bay next. Hi, Doug.
Hi. How are you guys doing?
Great. Thanks for calling.
Thanks for taking my call. My wife and I were recently scammed out of $8,000, and we hired investigators, and they were able to track down where it all ended up, and the money ended up somewhere in Russia, and basically, the detective says, well, that's all we can do, end of the line, too bad, you know, they got away with it. And after thinking about it, I wonder, isn't there some other recourse? I mean, now we know where the bandits are. There's police in that country. You know, I know U.S. relations ain't the greatest, but isn't there something, you know, does it really end there? They get away with it, and that's it?
No, that's a good question. Sandy Chalmers?
That is exactly why we spend so much of our time educating, because with the nature of today's crimes, these people are sitting in other countries, and it's like the national borders are invisible. And part of the reason they're able to do that is the advent of internet calling technology, and it just makes it easy for them to be anywhere in the world and basically reach into your pocketbook. I wish you would file a complaint with us, and the phone number to call is 1-800-422-7128. Chances are, it doesn't please me to say this, but chances are you will not get your money back. However, the FTC, the Federal Trade Commission in Washington, just busted that Microsoft tech support scam. And come to find out, it was about 14 companies, most of them in India, who were targeting English-speaking countries around the world. And it was a joint effort between the United States, Australia government, and the government of Canada. And it took three countries to bring that
wow.
ring down. But I guess the good news there is that the FTC action allows the federal government to freeze the assets of these companies here in the United States, and those assets will eventually be used to refund, to provide restitution for consumers.
Oh. So you need to know, have your name in.
Yeah, if you file a complaint with us, we'll check with the FTC and see if this is something they're working on. And, you know, it may be a while before you see money back, if at all. But $8,000 is a lot of money.
Yeah.
So whatever we can do, we'll try to help.
Actually, from what I was told, $8,000 was a small amount of money. Typically, these scams can be $20,000, $100,000 plus. And if that's the case, we're shipping a lot of money from the United States to these other countries, and they're getting away with it.
Yeah.
Yeah, and unfortunately, I think this kind of internet crime is just going to get worse and worse. So it really falls to consumers to be vigilant.
Yeah.
I think that's the solution. I really do. What's that number again? I'm ready to write it down
it's
now.
It's 800-422-7128.
Thank you.
Yeah, there you go, Doug. Thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate it very much. Talking consumer scam issues today with Sandy Chalmers and Michelle Reinen of the Wisconsin Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection. I'm Larry Mueller. Judith Sears-Poisson, our producer on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Thanks for listening in on the Ideas Net as we talk consumer scam issues. This is Cybersecurity Month, and our specialists, Sandy Chalmers and Michelle Reinen from the Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection, our guests. Great to have them along, and thank you for listening in. Paul in Sturgeon Bay has been waiting a little while to talk with you, too, so let's go right to Paul. Hi, Paul. Thank you for calling.
Good morning. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I've recently been exposed to what was a new scam, to me at least, I believe it is. I received phone calls, and the caller said that they were calling from Windows, that they had recently received error messages, and they were calling to follow up on those, and they wanted me to go turn my computer on. And I said, well, which computer? And they said, well, the Windows computer. I said, well, I've got several computers. I've got Windows on all of them. They were unable to tell me which one, and eventually they just hung up. I'm almost positive this was a scam of some type, and I didn't, fall for it, but I'm not sure that other people might not avoid doing that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that sounds very similar to the Microsoft tech support scam that I just talked about. Yes,
I was listening, it did sound very similar, but it was actually a phone call that came in, and they did it 2 days in a row.
Okay. Well, this ring operating out of India did cold call consumers, and, they were able to find enough victims, I guess, to make it pay off. But something else they did really caught my attention. They were able to place an ad on Google that would show up when you did a search for your own tech support company. Their ad would pop up right at the top. So, they're very, very just smart, savvy, very good at what they do, and they know where we're vulnerable. They know that we trust names like Microsoft, Symantec, Norton, all those antivirus names. So they use them. And Windows is another very well-known brand name.
What would they likely have had me done if I had logged on, do you think?
Well, they usually ask you to pay via credit card for a fix, or they may download software onto your computer that allows them to track your keystrokes in your internet surfing. There are so many variants on this scam.
None of them good for you, for sure.
And by the way, Microsoft and all those tech support companies never cold call consumers. They just do not communicate with their consumers in that way.
Yep, there you go. Thank you, Paul. Bill in Madison, your turn. Hi, Bill.
Hello. I have a comment, plus maybe a short piece of advice for one of the guys who called before, plus a question. First of all, your guest made a comment that, free software you should avoid because it's probably got a virus. Well, there's a huge community, I guess you'd call it a subculture, people like SourceForge, for example. They deal in open source software. People like Firefox, a popular web browser, it's open source software. And I have never heard of SourceForge propagating a program with a virus. And open source software is generally very safe and very reliable. And I don't think that's fair necessarily to say that if it's free. I would say that if you get a free copy of, say, Adobe Photoshop that someone says they're going to give you, that probably has a virus. But something in the open source community likely does not. See, the other thing is for that guy who lost the money in Eastern Europe. Generally, I turn on the headers on my email to read where it's all gone through. If I see an Eastern European IP address, I pretty much always ignore it because it's the Wild West and the laws are weak and the enforcement is even weaker. So basically, if it's Eastern Europe, forget it. Mm-hmm. My question is, I have a router and a switch set up. I have quite a lot of computers. I have a server, a Linux server that's basically operating as a media streamer, and then I've got a couple of laptops and a couple of desktops and basically a lot of stuff connected to this router, and I have a firewall running on the router. And it seems to be I have it set up to be, you know, pretty good, you know, I think pretty effective. Is it necessary or desirable for me to run firewalls on each of the computers that are connected to the system in addition to the firewall and the router?
That's a question I don't think we can answer. Maybe we can. I don't know.
I will talk about the free software, because what I meant to say was download free software from sites that you know and trust, and Android Store, Google Play, or the iTunes Store, or whatever else it is you use that you know and trust. But beware of free toolbars and free games that where you'll see an ad along the side. Sometimes that kind of software has a hidden surprise, which is malicious software.
Yeah. The other may have to wait for our computer wizard to come on to talk about it. Thanks a lot, though, for calling, Bill. Stay listening. One of our computer guys on pretty soon, and you can ask that question again. I think you're safe, but I don't want to say for sure. Margie and Franklin, thank you for calling. Hi.
Hi. I have a question about when you download something, even if it's from a reputable site, there's a terms of service that you have to agree to. And when you click on it, you know, you can cut and paste and save it to your file, and it's like 6 pages long, and it's all 100% in the server's benefit, no benefits to us, and it'll say under the terms of agreement that they're subject to change upon no notice, and that if we ever go back on it, that if we use it, we're agreeing to the change of services that we didn't even know. And I'm divorced from an attorney, so I tend to read all these agreements, but you can't. You can't keep up with that. It's nuts. What do you suggest?
Well, that whole issue is one that's under discussion at the federal level as far as consumer privacy. It is a good idea to understand what it is you're downloading. And I know on my phone, I have an Android phone. It gives me a summary of whether that application will be able to use my location or my contacts. So at the very least, make sure that you're understanding it from that perspective. But there's
Go ahead. Well, I was going to make maybe just a suggestion that wouldn't it be nice if everybody that had an online terms of agreement, that there was a basic national understanding what basic terms of service was, and that if their agreement had anything contrary or additional, that was in red. No. So that, you know, like when you buy a house, there's standard real estate forms, you know, that if you go and you agree to it, you know you're agreeing to a national standard of terms of service. Anything above and beyond would have to be flagged.
That would be nice, but that's just not the case right now. So,
oh, I know, not right now, but I guess I'm planting a bug in your ear.
Yeah, but right now we just need to make sure consumers are aware to pay attention to the terms of agreement of service that they, for applications or software that they're downloading, save the copy if you can so you have that, or make sure you know where to access it. Pay attention when they send you the alert that the terms have changed, so you take a look at it to make sure you understand and agree to this. And if you're not going to agree to maybe what the privacy policy is or what they're going to do with the data that they may be collecting, that you not use that application or follow through with the download. So this is an opportunity for choice for consumers.
Sure. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate your call. Michelle Reinen, one of our guests, the other Sandy Chalmers from the Department of Trade and Consumer Protection. Great to have them along. Thank you for listening in today. Call us with your questions or comments at 1-800-642-1234. You can email us at talk@wpr.org or go to my Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. You can post there. Comment from, I'm sorry, an emailer, I believe, from Milwaukee. Mitch in Milwaukee emailed us. Many years ago, my wife, when she was a minor, she lost her passport savings book. Before she could contact her bank, somebody picked it up and cleared most of the money out of her account by forging her name. The bank admitted to not asking for any identification, but would not offer any help. I always wondered, shouldn't the bank be responsible for checking identification of patrons making account withdrawals? Well, is that, Michelle, what do you think?
Well, the Department of Financial Institutions regulates the state banks in those regulations. Our Bureau doesn't have those regulations over banks. So I'd start there with a phone call to our State Department of Financial Institutions and see what the regulations are. Statute of limitations may be passed on this specific. But I know personally, on my accounts, I do ask that they put a note in my file or select the preference of please ask for ID each time I'm in a do a withdrawal. I don't do it on deposit transactions because if someone else wants to come deposit money, great. Let them do it.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Jim in Black River Falls emailed us too and said for several months now, I've been overbilled for my TV satellite service. When I call DirecTV to ask about the overbilling, they say they're adjusting the air. They get paid directly from my bank and they overbilled me again this month. What can I do?
I think it's a good idea to file a complaint with us. This happens many times with consumers where they try to get an issue resolved with the company, and they just kind of hit a brick wall. And we can mediate a complaint on a consumer's behalf, and it sounds like that's what has to happen at this point. So this is the next logical step for you to file a complaint with us.
And she just call or go online?
You can go online. The website is datcp.wisconsin.gov, and you can file a complaint online, or you can call our hotline at 1-800-422-7128.
And we've posted that information, the website and the phone number, on my Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show, so you can find it there. Anne emailed us, too. In Madison, many retailers are replacing coupons or offering sale prices through rewards programs. A birth date is part of the information to sign up for membership. Should I be concerned about identity theft with supplying a birthday? Any other personal information that could be risky to divulge?
Well, a birth date is one of the components that can make up a scenario for identity theft. You'll see your birth date out online a number of places, but when put in the right combination, it can be a problem. So ask what their security policy is behind the information that they obtain. What do they do with it? How do they secure it? Why do they need it? How do they keep it? How long do they keep it? What if you cancel the program? When do they get rid of it? So ask the questions before you sign up. Make sure you're comfortable. And if you don't like it, then you don't get the card. You may not get the coupons or the discounts, because I see that happening as well.
We have Mark Wenders. Now, you may not, I don't know if you have an answer for this one or not. He has an iPad with Wi-Fi capability. Should he be concerned about security if at a local restaurant or hotel or what have you? I would be concerned.
Yeah, you always need to be aware, especially if you're not using your own network, as far as what the security levels are if you're out in public. What are you doing on your device while you're out in public? Be vigilant. You know, don't be potentially making a bank exchange because you're on a public network. You don't know what that security level is. And save those transactions for when you're at home if you can, or use the telephone instead.
Lisa and Nina, thank you for calling. Hi, Lisa.
Hi. I have a question. Every time I log on to my credit card account to view my statement, or when I call there to make a payment, sometimes I make my payment over the phone,
yep,
I get phone calls at home from a company that sounds almost like my credit card company, but it's not. They'll call my house continuously over a five-day period and my cell phone, saying that they can lower my interest rates, just press number one, and they will continuously call day and night. But it's not my credit card company. And when I called them to let them know this was happening, they said they had no knowledge of this.
Well, I think that's an unfortunate coincidence, because just about everybody in the entire country is getting those annoying phone calls about lowering your credit card interest rates. So it's
it's not just me that's getting, you know,
probably not tied
really
to that.
It's really close
other.
To my statement time. It's really close to my statement time. So maybe they're just tuned into when the statements come out.
Yeah, that's interesting, but I think it's just a coincidence.
Okay.
Because I get those calls, too.
Do you? Okay.
Oh, yeah.
They call day and night.
Yes, they do.
Okay.
Not
Thank
on your,
you for your help.
That's on your landline, right?
Landline and my cell phone.
And your cell. Oh, good
Yeah,
grief.
And I don't have an Android phone. I just have a regular phone.
Yeah, they use auto dialers to just do numbers. They, you know, a lot of these telemarketers or these scamsters actually just move regionally and hone in on territorial areas and then just keep doing repetitive calls. And especially the ones that are, you know, press one to lower interest rates, nine to get off
That's
our
it.
List. Yeah, you don't press any buttons. That's the best advice that we can give people, because that signifies that you're a live body, live number that could lead to other leads. They'll sell that number to others and turn around, and that's the big money maker for them, is those live numbers that they get and turn around and sell to others that'll then target you.
There you go. Thanks a lot for calling, Lisa.
Thank you.
Mary in Columbus. Hi.
Hi. I was wondering if she has any recommendations about which antivirus programs to use. I currently use Microsoft Security Essentials, and that's just free. So I was wondering if it's if it would be better to actually purchase something.
Sandy Chalmers?
Yeah, because we're with a government agency, we just aren't in the business of making specific recommendations. But there are a number of well-known companies out there who sell quality antivirus, anti-spyware programs.
So yeah. You think it's better to purchase something?
It's really up to you. What I would say is go online and research. You know, there are a number of PC magazines out there that Consumer Reports probably reviews that kind of software, and just do comparisons and see, you know, whether the experts think that what you have is sufficient.
One of the guests that I have on my program has a site called Infostar.com.
Okay.
And he has a listing of free sites that he likes.
Okay.
So if you go to Infostar.com, I do trust Peter Green.
Okay. Okay, thank you very
All
much.
All right, thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate your call. And Mary in Eau Claire. Hi, thank you for calling.
Hi, I just wanted, a couple months ago, I was having big problems with one of my computers, and I kept going through Microsoft tech support knowledge base states, and nothing was working. So there was a number there that looked like an official Microsoft number, an 800 one, and I called it, and I got a gentleman from India who was really a hard sell. I will fix it over the phone if you just pay $240 a year for free coverage. And yes, I pointed out $240 was not free. Anyways, that was the gist of the story. It was a long conversation.
Oh, boy.
But, you know, it was on a support site. I mean, I don't know what I clicked on to get that number.
Well, it sounds
on a legitimate Microsoft, they have social support sites and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Well, a lot of sites can be misrepresented or revamped to look like official sites, and that Sandy was talking earlier about the tech support scam, and one of the variations is that they have made sure that they have a website and a Google tag and sideline and paid to make sure they move up on the list as looking like an official site and a high-ranking site. So it's that verification and trying to really be sure that you're at the official site. And that can be very tricky. You need to look for misspelled words or just the way things may be worded a little off, the things spelled differently than we would here in America.
There was
certain things. And so it can be very hard to spot. And so we try and use phone numbers as best we can, look for HTTPS sites, secure sites, and just be vigilant to those types of when you get the call now for free, it's $200+ a year. So that's the red flag that you need to hang up on.
Big red flag.
Thanks, Mary.
Can I say one more thing? Sure. I bought something on eBay and paid for it via PayPal. The deal didn't go through, and neither eBay nor PayPal would take any responsibility. Now, if I paid with my credit card, you know, there would have been that $50 deductible, but I wouldn't have had to pay for the rest of the fraudulent transaction. So I quit using PayPal.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Mary. And, you know, PayPal probably works a lot of the time, but there's a problem. They're not going to...
Right, and like she said, using your credit card offers you some extra security or back it up by your credit card company, whereas if you've wired money or done a different method of direct transfer, there aren't protections there. And so paying attention to the buyer and seller records is very important there.
Talking about consumer issues today with Sandy Chalmers, Administrator of the Division of Trade and Consumer Protection, and Michelle Reinen, Michelle's Director of the Bureau of Consumer Protection, in our Wisconsin Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection. Looking to hear from you. If you have a question or comment, give us a call, 1-800-642-1234. Or go to my Facebook page. You can post there at The Larry Mueller Show. I'm Larry Mueller here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Looking at consumer scam issues today with Sandy Chalmers and Michelle Reinen. Thanks for listening in, by the way. Join in if you have a question or comment, 1-800-642-1234. Let's turn to Judy in Athelstane next. Judy, hi. Thank you for calling.
Thank you for taking my call. I think that this was maybe covered before, and it's ironic that I called the consumer number this morning to complain about this constant person called Rachel that keeps calling me, and just like the lady says, she calls, and she just calls me. I think this lady said she got it after she did some work on her computer with her credit card. Well, that isn't the thing with me. This girl keeps calling. I keep slamming the phone down, and your gal said that they're criminals. Is that right?
Yeah, I think so. Isn't that right, Sandy?
Yeah. And
we've all heard from Rachel, I think.
We're asked about this every time we're on the show, and I tell you, it is something that just drives people crazy, especially people who are home all day, you know, elderly people or people who are staying home with young kids. And these are crimes that originate from overseas in the most part. The Federal Trade Commission is our federal partner on this, and because so many of these originate from overseas, we're really limited at the state level as to what we can do. They're obviously violating our state no-call laws, but they're sitting in Belize or Guatemala or Panama or Madagascar or whatever, and they don't care about state laws in Wisconsin. So the Federal Trade Commission is holding a meeting today, and they say there's going to be an announcement at the end, and I'm really hopeful they'll come up with some technical solution to this, and because the only way I think the only solution I can see is on the technological side, asking phone companies or internet service providers to block these messages. There are dozens. There are dozens and dozens and dozens of these organizations, criminal rings operating around the world, and they all use that Rachel electronic file, the Rachel recording, because it's apparently it's been effective. So,
well, some people, I'm very cautious. I just slam the phone down.
Well,
although I know that doesn't make any difference to them, but there are some people that, you know, follow through on this.
And
I feel bad about that.
The worst part of this to me is that that specific Rachel message is targeted at people who are, you know, in tough financial times, and they're looking for answers on lowering their credit card interest, and, you know, they're probably overwhelmed with credit card debt, and to them that Rachel call sounds like a really good deal, and they end up even further in the hole.
Well, I'm glad that they're going to do something about it eventually, because it's not annoying. It's bad for people.
Yep.
And thank you.
Thank you, Judy, for calling. Appreciate your call. Josh in Portage. Hi. Thank you for calling.
Thank you for the program, and thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
She thinks she just pretty much answered the question I had, but I do have a follow-up with that. This whole Rachel thing. I run a business, and I service senior citizen market, and primarily those that are on Social Security, disability, some fixed or retirement incomes. And the bulk of my business, you know, calls for following up with these individuals that request information for my assistance by phone. And because of so many of these phone scams, it's making my job very difficult. And my question is, you know, difficult in the fact that getting a hold of people, I mean, people just aren't answering their phones and they're screening their calls, and if they don't recognize a number, they don't answer it. And a lot of seniors, believe it or not, do not have answer machines, or they turn them off. My question is, do you see this problem getting better, or are all these scam artists out there going to constantly find these loopholes and the problem getting worse?
Well, this robocalling really it's changed dramatically over the last 18 months to 2 years, I would say, as internet calling has become more and more cheap. You know, they can sit anywhere in the world and call somebody in Wisconsin for, you know, a penny and a half, maybe.
Yeah.
So, unfortunately, I think it will continue unless, as I said earlier, there's some kind of technological solution to it.
Yeah, that's unfortunate. Thanks, Josh. John and Eau Claire, you know, it'd be nice if they, I don't know if you can even tell right off the bat if there's a call coming from, you know, I would want to say, I don't want any calls from Russia, or I don't want any calls from this country or that country. Or maybe I'd just say, I don't want any calls from any place except the United States. But
I think
can they block that? They can't block.
You may be onto something, Larry. And I think this has really been a game changer for the telecommunications companies, because people are dropping their landlines because they can't stand to get these calls.
Mm-hmm.
So I think, you know, as the economics of this has changed, I think we'll find some solutions, some industry-generated solutions.
I hope so. Yeah, it's got to be costing them money.
Yeah.
John and Eau Claire, thanks for calling. Hi.
Good morning. I had a question about credit card purchases and whether you're buying something online or if you're giving your credit card number to someone over the phone. They ask for your credit card number, then the expiration date, and even the 3-digit security code on the back of the card. And I'm just curious, what information do you actually have to give them, and what security information can you withhold and still make a purchase?
Uh-huh. unfortunately, there's some problems there, aren't there, Michelle?
Well, yeah, if you want to make the purchase what they're asking for, I mean, to process the credit, they may require that three-digit number on the back in addition. I mean, they need the credit card number, the expiration date, that three-digit number, depending upon their agreement with the credit card company or what protections their contract they have, they may need to require asking for it. So if you want to make that purchase and that's one of the pieces of information they request, you'll have to give it to them or you'll have to find another method of payment, I suppose.
Because it doesn't really leave any security information untouched or unshared, really.
Well, if they start saying you need to give your Social Security number to buy something that doesn't require a credit check of you, I mean, you're not getting a utility service, you're buying an iPod, you shouldn't have to give your Social Security number for that. So there's a reasonableness, but with regards to a credit card, they may need all three pieces of information, along with exactly how your name appears on the card, if that middle initial is there or not.
Okay, well, thank you.
Thanks a lot for calling. Question that came up that relates to all this is, do we need to register on both state and federal no-call lists? Why or why not, Sandy?
We do recommend that you register on both because the federal and state no-call laws kind of dovetail, but they don't completely overlap. So by registering on both, you'll have the full range of protections.
Carl in Madison, it's your turn. Hi, Carl.
Hi, Larry. I'm calling because I got a call from a man in New York who claims he was with Publishers Clearing House, notifying me that I had won $2,500,000 in a drawing, and all I had to do was go to Walgreens or Kmart and get a Green Dot Money Pack card for $200. So they would deposit the money in my bank account, and I would give them $200 money pack card. He said they would come to my home. The representative from the IRS will also be there. And he gave me his name as Mr. Adrian Russell. I should call back immediately when I got Green Dot money pack card. So he called again this morning and said they were at the airport waiting for me to call them. Why didn't I call them back? And meanwhile, of course, I'd called the Wisconsin Consumer Protection. I'd called my bank. I'd called the Madison police. And they all said that it was a scam not to do anything, not to even answer the phone when they called. Well, I thought I'd play along with it, and that's when they called again this morning and became very irate because I told them I would have the Green Dot Money Pack card by now, and I didn't. They were waiting at the airport in a white limousine, and they wanted to come to my house. And, they would deposit the money in my bank checking account, and the bank manager would call me when the check cleared, and everything would be fine. So, have you heard of that one?
Oh, boy, that is... we actually have seen a real spike in these sweepstakes scams over the last few months, and that's happening nationally. And most of these sweepstakes scams are coming out of Jamaica, and they all use that same twist where they want you to go and get the prepaid debit card. It's called a Green Dot Money Pack card. And they do... some of them will look on Google Maps at your address and say, you know, we're right around the corner, we're passing the White House, you know, are you ready? Do you have your money ready? And they actually can become very, very threatening and aggressive with people. So it sounds like you're at the point now where you're better off just letting the phone ring and not talking to them anymore. But, this has really become a big problem in Jamaica, and there have been... gang-related deaths over these.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, so it's a real crime problem there.
Well, they had my address. I don't know where they got that. But anyway, they were quite...
quite the crowd, and it's not the crowd that you want to run with, Carl.
And good for you for recognizing it as a scam, because we just heard from an elderly gentleman earlier this week who fell victim to a similar scam. And, of course, once you're tagged as a sucker, you will hear from others. And he had heard from a number of these fake sweepstakes scams. And, you know, each one progressively gets more and more threatening. So,
words of the wise. We'll be back with Michelle and Sandy after a quick look at the news. Stay with us. If you use the Internet, you're certainly not alone. We've got about, 240 million people here in the U.S. who use one. Most of the time, it's uneventful, but what if important data are stolen in the process, or your identity or your credit and financial security might become at risk? Larry Mueller here. Glad you could join us today on the Ideas Network, talking about those kinds of issues today during October Cybersecurity Month with Sandy Chalmers and Michelle Reinen, both from the Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection. They've got some great information to share on staying safe online, and they'll also update us on current scams to watch out for, and certainly take your questions as well when you call in at 1-800-642-1234. You can also go to my Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show, post a question or comment there. Click like while you're there. We'll send you regular updates on upcoming show topics. In the course of a week or a month, we act as consumers many, many times, between paying bills for utilities or rent or a mortgage, purchasing subscriptions on or items online. I was just online yesterday to pay out my credit card bill for the month. We went online to do that, and you probably have done that as well. Most of those things go pretty smooth, but when we have trouble, it can be really a big problem. That's why we've asked our two great guests, knowledgeable, passionate people working on our behalf, Michelle Reinen from the Director of the Bureau of Consumer Protection. Michelle, great to have you as always. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you.
And Sandy Chalmers, Administrator of the Division of Trade and Consumer Protection. And thanks again for spending time with us today, Sandy.
Thank you, Larry.
Always a pleasure. They'll be with us until 12:30 today to answer your consumer questions. And Mark in Wisconsin Rapids has been waiting a long time, so let's go to Mark. Hi, Mark.
How you doing?
Good.
My question is, I've been applying for jobs online because, you know, the paper applications don't exist anymore.
Yeah.
And when I'm on that first page, it's legitimate. When I get to the bottom of that website, there's a box. It says, check this box if you want to further your education. And if you don't, then no one will call you. Well, I made a mistake, and I checked the box, and I came home within a half an hour. I already had 5 phone calls. Man, nobody left a message. And that, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I mean, is your guests know anything about this, or?
Online education.
I can't say that I've heard of that, but it sounds like other things where, you know, check this box and it could trigger. I mean, there's a data miner there who's obtained that information, and it's probably now trying to target some sale to you and get you involved in some other offering. And maybe it's some online classes or some satellite type of school. So I'd just be very vigilant there as far as the calls that you get and if you actually connect with someone.
Mm. Right. I did, you know, I returned a couple calls. Someone said, hang up. You know, that's all I heard on the voicemail. So, I mean, all I have is my phone number. That's it, you know. Yeah. I do have a landline phone. And every time a legitimate, you know, sites, you know, to apply for jobs.
Yeah, it's strange that would.
And in the very bottom of that first page, that box is on every online application.
Well, if this is a legitimate company, if you talk to them and say, don't call me anymore, they should respect that.
Right, but the company was not some educational.
It was somebody else that has,
right. And,
bought an ad. It's almost like buying an ad on the legitimate company's site.
Yeah, they wanted to see if I want to go to college in some other state. Well, I'm unemployed, so that's not going to happen.
Yeah, yeah. It's something to, sounds like something you want to avoid for sure. But it is strange. But it sounds to me just like a newspaper might have an ad for something. This sounds like it's an ad on an application, and the company that is advertising it probably paid the other company money to do it. Yeah. Beverly in Duluth, Minnesota. Hello.
Hi there. I have, this is perfect timing for me. I recently sent away for some additional information on an identity protection program. It's connected with a well-known multi-city department store, and this additional information requested all credit card numbers, bank account numbers, insurance policy numbers, social security numbers.
Oh, my goodness.
I could apply online. I have no computer. Or I could apply over the phone. There is no paper form to fill out. And they say all information is secure, but, you know, anything can be hacked.
I would.
Yeah, that's one of those situations where you are right. That seems like a red flag to give away all your information and it's secured. You're absolutely right. It could be hacked. So it's not just you having your information and having to secure it. It's someone else having all your information and having to secure it, and you don't know them. So, you know, there are different companies that do offer identity theft protection, and a lot of the protection that they offer are all things that you can do yourself for free. It's just a matter of consumers making sure that they stay on top of it. So, you know, no opinion about whether or not you get involved in one of those, because it's a service that they're providing for you. It's just, will, you know, making sure that you are monitoring your information, your credit report, your bank account statements, your credit card statements, and watching for that identity theft. People can do that for free themselves, and then just taking action if they see something.
Yeah, I would never give all that information away. That would be...
No, I felt very insecure giving all that away. I was definitely not going to apply.
No, you did the right thing, Beverly. Thank you for calling. Appreciate it. Matt and Delavan, on to you now. Hi.
Hey, how's it going, man?
Good. Thanks for calling.
Hey, I just wanted to let you guys know there's an identity theft scam going on. I've only run into it in Janesville. I haven't looked at it anywhere else. It was on the Craigslist. I was looking for a job. What's kind of cool that they're doing is they're cut and pasting other real job posts and posting it up. So, I mean, there's a lot of these listings up, and they're all, you know, different language. I mean, you can tell just completely different people writing this, right? So you know, and they all sound pretty great. So you send in resume and stuff, and they'll reply with an email of, and the email is, the English is not quite 100%, you know, like 75%. And then they're, what they'll do is they'll say, well, because we work with high finance, which is the term they use, we work in high finance, we're going to ask you to fill out a credit report, and sends you to this BS credit report site for you to enter in all your information. I didn't explore it any further than that. It takes like 45 minutes to report these things to the FBI, which is the worst. But yeah, I thought people should, you know, keep a heads up. There's no real reason. I've talked to other people. There's no real reason why any job would ask for a credit rating or ask you to fill out an independent credit report. So
No.
Yeah, there are a number of variations on help wanted or work from home scams. Some use Craigslist and other online ad sites. Some use newspaper ads, or they will send emails or text spam to people. You know, some use Facebook. Sometimes they're looking for information, just typical marketing information, and sometimes they do ask for money up front or a social security number up front. And these are almost always scams because legitimate businesses, you know, don't tend to recruit in this way.
Right.
Yep.
I think a main point is if it's a good job in Janesville listed, it's a scam.
Okay. Matt, thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate your call. Good luck with your job search. I hope you find something soon. Carissa in Green Bay. Hello. Thank you for calling.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I was calling because I had a call a couple months ago from a gentleman who was said he was researching children's vaccines and how many children in the Green Bay area were vaccinated and so forth. And right away he started asking for my children's full names and their dates of birth. And when I questioned him a little bit about it, about who was, you know, funding the study and so forth, he pretty much evaded my questions. So I asked him if he could just send me the paperwork to fill out and that I would, you know, present it to my pediatrician's office and see what they thought about it. Or if there was a number that I could call him back at, and he said no and no. So then I just ended the call. But I thought, my question is, should I be monitoring my kids' credit report?
Yes, absolutely. Children typically, you know, don't have any credit. So if you do a credit check or do a credit report on them and you get zero result, that's great. You know, we don't want kids to have credit reports at this time, unless, of course, somehow you've done some authorization and started them working on how to be financially savvy and given them a credit card or something. But that's very, very rare and usually starts around maybe age 16 that I've heard of.
Yeah, so, they're very young, so I can't imagine that there'd be anything on there. But I would think I wouldn't even think to check it until they get to be going to college or something.
Right. No, you want to start that. Identity theft for children is on the rise. It's one of the highest target markets because they have clean credit and they go for a long period of time without discovering that there's been identity theft unless parents are running credit reports and checking that information. So it's a good decision to, you know, run their credit report and see what you get and make sure you're getting nothing.
Okay.
And then checking if you've opened bank accounts, checking those statements there regularly too.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Great. Thank you.
Yeah. Thanks for calling. And you can join in, too, by the way, at 1-800-642-1234. Give us a call. Sarah in Zion, Illinois, thank you for calling. Hello.
Hi, thanks. About 10 years ago, my parents, when they were in their 70s, they got a knock on the door from this guy in a pickup truck who said that he had been sealing our neighbor's driveway, their neighbor's driveway down the street, and he had some left, and for $200, he'd do it to my parents' driveway. And they were like, okay. But then, after they started working, they said, you know, really, it's $2,000, and sometimes they somehow they convinced my mother to pay that. Fortunately, I happened to drive up right then, and my mom told me the whole deal, and I thought, well, that's kind of a lot of money. And then these guys were so slick. They got my mom away from me and told her, no, really, it was a mistake. It's really $200. But they'd already sent my dad. My dad had already gone to the bank to get the cash. So I called the bank, and I told them, I have to talk to my dad. They ended up, you know, paying $200 for this thing. But then we realized we should call the police, and the police said, oh, yeah, this is just I wish you'd gotten their license plate number because this is a scam, and they're out there doing it to everybody. And so I was mad that we didn't get their number, but I wonder how common that is.
Oh, that's very common, isn't it, Sandy?
Yeah, it happens every summer. We hear about these transient work crews, and, you know, so a lot of times they're black toppers, and they spread old motor oil on somebody's driveway and try to charge them $2,000 for it, or they take the money and don't do any work at all. We commonly hear about these work crews following the path of a hailstorm or windstorm in the summer, so it really is something to be on the lookout for. When anybody comes to your door and offers you a great deal on materials or, you know, just beware. And this issue of door-to-door sales in general, we have been hearing more about this lately. In the Madison area and in north central Wisconsin, in southeast, you really have to be prepared to resist that high pressure pitch. They're very, very good at what they do. But if they have to use that high pressure pitch, it probably isn't a legitimate business, because an honest business will give you time to think about, you know, whether to make the purchase or not.
Can I say one more thing?
Sure.
Oh, just that the police said, well, actually, now that this happened to me, and they said that, you know, legitimate people don't go door to door like that. And I think the first thing someone should do is, I mean, don't tell them you're calling the police and don't say we think you're suspicious, but just close the door and call the police right away.
Yeah, that is a good idea, and it's actually what we recommend. Do not let these people in your homes, because it can be impossible to get them out. And I know they do prey on elderly people. Before you sign, well, if you're even asked to sign a contract, before you make any kind of commitment or decision, do check with your local law enforcement, because they'll likely tell you, oh, we just chased them out of another neighborhood.
Mm-hmm. Thanks again for calling, Sarah. And Joan in La Crosse, thank you for calling. Hi.
Yes, hi. And I just turned the radio on, and I heard them talking about identification protection.
Yes.
And I just signed up for it yesterday because my purse was stolen Sunday. All my IDs, everything, my checkbook, credit cards, everything was in my purse. And so I did sign up for it at Wells Fargo Bank. And as far as I know, that would be certainly an okay thing to do, don't you think?
Mm-hmm. I mean, if you're working with your bank, you've had information stolen, you need to report it to all the entities, you know, call the DOT about your driver's license being stolen, tell Social Security Administration if you had your card on you, if you had an insurance card, make sure they know it was stolen. You got to just let everybody know. And now the bank's probably signed you up for some kind of fraud alert system.
She forged all these checks that came in yesterday, so it's fraudulent. So that's added beside the theft. And they know the person. They know who it is, but they just cannot catch her.
Well, victims of identity theft do get to sign up for fraud alerts, so they'll be notified if people try and take out credit in their name. And you can stop that and say, no, that wasn't me doing that, and deal with that. And so it's good that your bank and hopefully law enforcement know about this, since that you know who the culprit is.
And you do suggest me getting going to get my driver's license right away, even though she has that.
Yeah.
The detective didn't think I needed to do that right away.
Yeah, there's a phone number you can call. You can call our 800 number to get a brochure sent out to you about all the steps that you can do once you've become a victim of identity theft. And letting DOT know, getting a new driver's license, so then that way if law enforcement pulls this person over and they try and use your ID, law enforcement will know, and you won't end up with a crime attached to you if that's what happens, or a ticket or something.
So the hotline number again, by the way, is
1-800-422-7128.
Okay, thank you very much.
Yep, thanks a lot for calling. 1-800-422-7128, right? Yep. Okay.
Right.
Diana in Green Bay, hello.
Yes, thank you. I have a question, been hoping you might be of some help to me. There has been an ad that we've been receiving phone calls for quite some time regarding an apartment in New York. Someone has taken my husband's identity and is claiming to have an apartment that they're subleasing in New York, and they're requesting a down payment, a security deposit in the first month's rent. Of, you know, in some cases, $1,500 to $1,700, and we keep getting phone calls about it. And they've gone as far as even taking my husband's identity from his workplace. So if someone is looking into it, it looks like it's legitimate. And we tried several times contacting Craigslist to have that removed, and to no avail. It keeps coming up, and we continuously, sometimes, you know, 5-6 times a day, we get phone calls from people wanting to information about this apartment, and we have never lived in New York. It's not our apartment, but somebody's using my husband's identity to, obviously procure, you know, funds from people. And what would be your suggestion in how to, you know, circumvent this, how to stop this? Craigslist doesn't seem to, you know, they don't take it off. They don't take it off of their, you know, their website.
They may. I'm just speculating. They may be taking it off, but somebody keeps putting it back up. I don't know.
Okay.
But this is a scam that we've seen just increase dramatically over the last year and a half or so, and it's always involves Craigslist and phony real estate, apartment letter rentals, or home sales listings. I guess one thing that we could do is if you would call our number, we would contact Craigslist on your behalf and okay. intervene for you and see whether there's something that can be done. A lot of these real estate Craigslist scams originate out of Nigeria, unfortunately, so it's very, very difficult to track down the perpetrators.
Hmm. Okay. Is there anything that we can make, when we get the phone calls, we try to explain to people that it is a scam and that they should call Craigslist, but this has been going on for really quite some time.
So you really should get a hold of the consumer protection here and have them look into it for you.
Okay.
And the number is 1-800-422-7128.
Okay. And do I ask, okay, and anyone there can help me?
Yes.
With that? Okay. Mm-hmm. All righty. Wonderful. Thank you.
Yep. Thanks a lot for calling. And Judy in Green Bay, hello.
Hello.
What's on your mind?
Just this morning, I got a text message on my cell phone, and it was asking, did I know anybody who smoked and called this number to buy electronic cigarettes? I've had similar text messages like that in the past, and I'm wondering, how can we stop that? On my landline, I can tell people, do not call this number again, but how do we stop that on a cell phone?
Well, Michelle Reinen?
Well, first we want to make sure that your cell phone number is registered on the Wisconsin and the federal no-call list, so and the do-not-call list, so that number can be part of the list that goes out to telemarketers of who they shouldn't contact. And then second, we want probably to file a complaint because we can see if we can track the call back. Since we do have a no text in place, solicitors shouldn't be contacting you if your number's on no call list. Don't click on any links or anything with regards to the information if they have a link or anything, because that could lead to phishing or a live number situation. So they would resell that number that way. And that would be some of the best protections that you could yep. have in regards to that.
Good luck.
Sometimes your cell phone provider will want to know about those unsolicited texts because they monitor their traffic very closely, and they may, you know, just block that yep. sender.
And Michelle and Sandy, thank you so much for being with us. You'll come back in a month or so. We'll do it again.
Sure will.
All
That'd
right.
be great.
Michelle Reinen and Sandy Chalmers from the Wisconsin Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection. They'll come back in about a month, and we will talk with them again. Thank you for listening. Stay with us. Lots in store here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.